Good afternoon. This is 91.7 WVXU, Cincinnati Edition. I'm Dan Hurley. The search for a site for a new Major League Soccer stadium has played out in public since last February. FCC, Football Club Cincinnati, wants to move up to the Major League Soccer level. But before they find out whether they have been accepted by the league, the club has to work out a deal for a stadium. From the beginning, three possible locations have been in play. An industrial site in Oakley that poses some traffic challenges and does not fit as well into the urban vibe that the club has established at Nippert Stadium over the last several years. A site in the West End bordering the revitalizing Over the Rhine neighborhood. It requires a land swap with the Board of Education for Taft High School's Stargell Stadium along Central Parkway. In exchange for the parcel and a new high school stadium to be built by FCC. Although the Board of Education is open to the land swap, on Monday it turned down the latest financial offer made by the club regarding investments and tax payments. The Newport site has not received the same intense scrutiny, in public at least, as the other two. To catch us up on where the process stands, I'm joined by the general manager and president of FCC, Jeff Birding, and former Cincinnati mayor, Mark Mallory, who has been hired by FCC to assist in negotiations on the West End site, a neighborhood where his family has deep roots. I'm also joined by Amanda Seitz, a reporter with WCPO Channel 9 here in Cincinnati, who's been covering this story. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Everyone, Jeff, Mark, Amanda, welcome to Cincinnati Edition. This is a very fluid situation. In fact, there's a meeting at 1:30 today that we have just found out about in the last 15 minutes that's been called by the Cincinnati Board of Education. So this is literally moving as we're talking. Jeff, let me just start by saying you issued a statement this morning. The club issued a statement this morning pointing out that Major League Soccer's economics are not those of other professional sports leagues because of broadcast revenues, and that also pointing out that you're making a big investment to bring an MLS team here and also build this new stadium. And then you say, as of this morning, we have made no formal progress forging a partnership with CPS, and time is quickly running out. That the club has to spend $1 million by 5 o'clock today to secure certain real estate options. So is this sort of a line in the sand that you've drawn just this morning? Is this a new deadline that has just sort of emerged?
We've had very good conversations, Dan, with CPS over the past numerous weeks. And in those conversations, we've talked about the community, we've talked about Taft and the district, and of course, we've talked about taxes. When we made our initial offer a few weeks ago, we talked about paying CPS, having this stadium publicly owned, making sure we hold CPS harmless and pay the same amount of taxes they're getting currently on the site, about $70,000 a year. And then over the weekend, we had conversations and formally presented on Monday a proposal to go to, over the first 10 years, $3,750,000. So from $700,000 to $3,750,000. And now this morning, we've doubled that offer to now pay $750,000 each year over the first 10 years, 10 times more what we offered originally, and double what we offered earlier this week. The issue with the timing, we've indicated since February the 4th, when I spoke before Cincinnati City Council endorsing a community benefits agreement, that we do have to have one site. We have to go from three sites to one site by March the 31st, so we can then design a stadium and proceed with architectural and ultimately construct the stadium in time to begin play a few years down the road. And the specifics of this morning's communication was, as we are acquiring commercial properties adjacent to Stargell Stadium, we have to start paying people a lot of money. And if obviously we're willing to run the risk, we don't control all of the properties that we need on the site, and we still have to go to Cincinnati City Council. But if we can't even get the CPS piece done, which we thought, given that our genuine interest in being strong partners with CPS, if we can't even get this piece done, then it's probably a real waste of a lot of money. Again, we're going to start spending upwards of $1 million on real estate in the area. We're willing to run the risk as it relates to Cincinnati City Council, but we're not willing to run the risk if we can't even get there with CPS.
And
go ahead,
Jeff, your statement seems to indicate, too, after 5 o'clock today, if you guys haven't heard back from CPS and haven't gotten a positive reception with your offer, that you'll be moving on from the West End site. Is that an accurate assumption?
I want to stress, Amanda, and to the listeners, we understand that CPS will still have to vote, and a meeting of that nature would require sunshine and likely doesn't take place until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But if the CPS legal counsel sends a letter that they're accepting of the offer, that we can reach an agreement on property taxes, then we will be good, and we'll go ahead and start wiring money on the rest of this property. So obviously, if we can't get there today, then we run the risk of losing control of the property, and which probably makes then the ability to put the stadium in the West End past us. And at that point, we have two other terrific sites.
One of the things, Mark, that I would like to know is, what is the view of the people of the West End beyond just the school question? And there's a community benefits agreement. There's a whole question about what the relationship of the club would be with the people of the West End. And where does that stand in all of this? I mean, we're sort of focused on the schools because it's the land swap, it's paying money, it's all of that kind of stuff, it's the tax benefits. But what about the other parts of this?
Well, I'll say that there are differing opinions in the West End. There are certain grade of the term gentrification has been tossed around and used a lot, mostly by the folks who oppose the stadium going in the West End. But we've done a fair amount of work among the residents in talking directly with them in door-to-door activities and phone calling. And what we've gotten is an indication that the more information people have about the stadium and the positive things that it could bring to the community, the more they're supportive of it. And it's been running at right around 70-71% of the people who've been directly engaged who then go on to say, I would support a stadium being in the West End.
Well, we have a call from Jimmy, and let me answer this call.
You ready for me now?
Yes, Jimmy, can you tell us what your question is, please?
Okay, first let me tell you who I am, sir. My name is Jimmy Mim from the West End. And I'm a Vietnam combat veteran, disabled, proud American veteran, proud I served. And Mr. William Mallory Sr., he was president of the West End Community Council. I was president of the council behind him. And the Mallorys, me and a guy named Clinton Johnson, we watched them boys grow up. But my point is, I've always loved that community. And whatever community you're from, you probably have memories of your old community. The streetlights, the gas lamps, the fire hydrants, the schoolyards, the places where y'all shot marbles, the places where you sung doo-wop. So that's what I feel about the West End. And out of the West End came doctors, lawyers, preachers, world-class sports athletes, poets.
Jimmy, I'm very aware of the limited amount of time we've got today. Is there a specific point or question that you've got?
Here's my question and my point. Of all the neighborhoods, with the background that we knew about from promises in the past, and with what we're already struggling with in the West End for us, housing, education, and the situation we have, why would you want to put a kickball stadium, down in a neighborhood where blacks were rooted, born and raised, come up from the south, and already are sitting there? And with the land that's there, why put a kickball stadium?
Okay, let me toss that to Jeff and Mark. Let me even broaden this out a bit. I mean, it's technically in the West End, and but it also sits very close to Over the Rhine. I mean, it's really two neighborhoods that are immediately affected here. And we've talked a lot about the West End, but it also there's interaction here with the West with Over the Rhine as well. So why the West End? Why this site, as opposed to either Oakley or Newport? Jeff?
Sure, Dan. And Jimmy, thank you for your service and for your question. We have three sites that we've been pursuing since June of last year, 2017. We think all three of them have enormous opportunities and some challenges. This particular site is commercial property. There's no residential housing that's going to be displaced. There's going to be no, the stadium's not going to touch the high school building. We would have the ability to build a new and improved Starkville stadium across the street. We'd have the ability to partner to improve education with CPS and in the neighborhood. We have options on 60 parcels that will, our commitment, we'll put it in a binding community benefits agreement to be market rate mixed income to make sure it's affordable, which improves the neighborhood. At the end of the day, we think that we could be a catalyst for improving the condition for people who live in the West End and in the neighboring areas, and we think that we're a positive for the community, for the region.
Jeff, let me ask this question.
We've said we want to go where we can do the most good.
Jeff, let me ask this question. If the West End site, if you can't come to an agreement with CPS, can you pivot back to Oakley? And how far along are you in discussions with Newport? Because at least on the public level, we haven't heard many details about negotiations with Newport.
Well, sure, Dan. We've never pivoted away from Oakley, but we said that we wanted to pursue all three sites, and we've been doing that. I was recently in a town hall meeting in Oakley. We had the preliminary results of a traffic study. We like the Oakley site quite a bit as well, and maybe that'll be determined to be the best site. As it relates to Newport, we have enormous interest in Newport. It sits right on the river. The land has already been acquired. It's already been cleared. The roads and infrastructure have already been built. There's a super TIF, tax increment financing, that have already been approved by government leaders on that site. It would have a beautiful view of our skyline every time that the cameras and people come into the stadium. So we love the opportunities presented by all three of these sites.
And one of the points, Jeff, that you made in your statement today was that if you guys go to any of these other two sites, there might not be the opportunity for the school property tax there. Is that correct? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Certainly, Cincinnati Public Schools are not going to get any additional tax revenue if we're building the same in Newport. We would have an agreement with the Newport City Schools, but we would not have an agreement with Cincinnati Public Schools if we built the stadium in Newport. And in addition, there would be no prevailing wage paid in Newport, which we're certainly offering here in Cincinnati. As it relates to Oakley, our financing with the Port Authority envisions a scenario where what we would be paying to CPS would be the status quo of what they would be getting currently on the CASFAB site that we have acquired. And so our point is, literally, they're going to get more from FC Cincinnati in 1 year than they would get over 10 years in the West End. So if they say no, if they vote no to FC Cincinnati, the school board will get $700,000 over 10 years. If they say yes to FC Cincinnati, they'll get $750,000 each year. and also have a heck of a strong partnership with us.
So, I just want to be clear. Do you already own the CASFAB site?
We do.
You do. Okay. Yes, we do. Okay. We've got a call from Jan. I want to take that call.
Hello.
Hi, Jan. Would you go ahead and ask your question?
Sure. If FCC moves to a higher level requiring a new stadium, I think it's probably a given that ticket sales will increase. And oftentimes that makes it unaffordable for families. In the first season, I remember going up with getting my ticket, and there were vendors or people selling them for $5 and $10 right there at UC, and I'm sure that generated crowd size. But, you know, can you speak to the fact that tickets would go up, or how could it be affordable for families? I just can't see how the tickets would not go up.
Jeff, that's probably Jeff's question.
Yes, and it's a great question. I get it all the time, and I want to offer a level of reassurance. Our success has been based on we believe we want to be a winning team, we want to be a family-friendly club, and a franchise that's visible in the community. And part of being family-friendly, a big part of that is our ticket pricing. And right now our ticket prices range from $10 to $40. And in a new MLS stadium, by the time we open it, I would envision that the entry price will probably be $15. The high price, though, might be $115. And so we're going to have, if you go to UC or Xavier basketball, they have courtside seats. We're going to have courtside seats, but they'll be on the field. And we'll have field suites. And so, in effect, we're going to have a stadium designed to allow for much higher level of luxury seats that companies and high-wealth individuals will purchase. But that allows us, in effect, that subsidizes our family-friendly prices, our entry point. Our entry point is akin to taking your kids to the movie. We think that we're a better experience than sitting in the dark theater for a couple hours. We think the memories that we provide are brilliant for families to be together. And our entry price point will always be measured against taking your family to the movie.
Mark, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there part of the, in talking with the West End site, there's offers by the club to make access to students and I guess students and parents at Taft High School available in a special way. Now, my question is, does anybody really care about that? Is that important to anybody?
Well, I hope that it is important because it's exposure to soccer that can make a difference for a young person in the West End or elsewhere in the city of Cincinnati. You know, we talk all the time about what it takes to get people to become successful, and we talk about exposure to the arts, exposure to culture, exposure to sports. And this would be an opportunity for young people and their parents to be exposed to the game of soccer, which is the most popular sport in the world. And I think that it's really important that we stay focused on kids and the opportunities that this could present for young people in the city of Cincinnati. You know, we have in place all the things for folks our age. And we're always supposed to be building a city for the next generation. And there's no doubt in my mind that the next generation of Cincinnatians are crazy about soccer and really want to be involved in soccer. So this would be an opportunity, I think, for the West End or whichever neighborhood ends up getting it to be at the forefront of that energy.
So I'm curious today when we hear from the school board, if you guys get a negative reception on what you've offered, where do you go from here, and what will you be looking at in the other two sites that will push you into making a decision?
Well, with respect to Oakley, our deal's been approved by Cincinnati City Council. We control the site. Obviously, there's going to be some additional engagement with the city and the neighborhood, particularly regarding parking and traffic. The county reaffirmed their commitment to the 1,000 car garage today on either of the West End or the Oakley site. And so we could move on the Oakley site immediately if we chose. And the same thing is true in Newport. It's a privately owned development. We've had a memorandum of understanding with Corporex for over a year now. And the TIF has already been supported. The infrastructure is already in place. And I think it's a beautiful site that would really bring our region together. And we're only going to get there, achieve our aspirations as a region if we do it together. And so I like a lot of what Newport represents to us.
On the question of parking garages, we happen to be in a building right now, which is, if I understand it correctly, this is the property you're going to build, or the city's going to build, the new parking garage on. Is that correct? Where CET, VXU, stands at the GUC stand at the moment?
It's our understanding that regardless of plans with FC Cincinnati and where we build our privately financed stadium, that the city and 3CDC are moving to improve the garage that is at that site.
Okay. Okay, we have another call here. Mark, do you have something to say? Pardon me, Dave. Dave,
hello.
Are you on the line?
Yeah, here I am. You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, hello. Yeah, I want to say hello to your guest. I did not call to dispute anything. I called to give you three other areas located within the city of Cincinnati to build your stadium. Number one would be Ryerson Steel. That building has been vacant for about 20-something years. Big, huge place right there on Spring Grove Avenue. Jump off of Hopple Street and you're right there. Plenty of parking, access, and everything else. And how about the old Crosley Field? Once again, right there by the interstate, jump off. And by being old Crosley Field, you know that's a huge place because they play the baseball games there. And plus you got the Stockyard location down there on Spring Grove Avenue. That would be ideal because it's not in no residential area per se where people got to worry about anything like that. You ain't got to worry about no traffic because it's on Spring Grove Avenue. Has anyone ever considered those three sites?
Well, let me throw those out, but I think my guess is it's pretty late in the ball game here for any other site. Is that correct?
Thank you to the caller and for the inspiring sites, and I really appreciate it. We did spend from January through June of 17 really looking at every potential site that was in the urban core inside the Beltway where we felt it really tied into a community where people, you know, come to live, to work, and to play. And we ended up on these three sites. We really like all three sites. I tell people all the time, I love all three of these sites, and we're going to build a $250 million stadium after paying $150 million, all privately financed, to get into MLS, and we're going to be thrilled to build on one of these three sites. So I'm aware of the sites that the caller is referring to, and I agree with them. There's a lot of potential. I think some of them are probably planned by the Port Authority and the city and the county to be industrial sites where we can bring some manufacturing back to this community, grow our tax base, and have jobs for our residents. But he's right. There's a lot of good sites in this community.
Amanda.
Jeff, you mentioned the Port Authority twice now in this conversation. Are you guys still in talks with them for potential ownership of the stadium if it's in Ohio?
We are.
And I am joined this time just by former Mayor Mark Mallory, who has been working with FC Cincinnati regarding the location of a new stadium in the West End. And Mark, Jeff and Amanda had to leave us, but I want to raise some questions about the community benefits agreements that could come out of this for the West End. Or I guess for any community, but it's been talked about specifically in the West End. Mm-hmm. What sort of things are you really talking about there?
Well, first of all, let's talk about what the concept of a community benefits agreement is. This is an agreement that is usually forged between a private entity, maybe it's a developer, and a community and the city that they are operating in. So the agreement is usually a legally binding agreement that says you know, the community wants to get this out of the deal, or the city wants to get this out of the deal. The private developer agrees to those things and is legally bound. So these can be all kinds of things. This could be – we had a conversation earlier about access for young people in the community that the stadium goes to. having given them access to the soccer games themselves. This could include a conversation about public art. It could include a conversation about, noise levels that are restricted at certain times. It could include, green space, setbacks, all kinds of things can be included in a community benefits agreement as it relates to a development.
What about in terms of employment, both on the construction side and on the operations of the stadium that would be in that community?
Well, one of the things that FC has been very clear on from the beginning of the conversation about the construction of stadiums is that they want to be very serious about inclusion. They want, for wherever the stadium ends up, they want to give a hiring preference for people in that community so that the money benefits the community itself or, where the stadium is going. Those kinds of things are real. Those are real commitments, and those are the kinds of things that can end up in a community benefits agreement.
Mark, you've been mayor. You've been around these sorts of discussions for a long time.
I was mayor for 150 years, yes.
Yes.
It felt like it.
And as a historian, I'll document it. Do those things really work out? I mean, are those more than just window dressing, promises? Do you know of situations where they've actually – people have fulfilled the promises they've made?
Well, keep in mind that we haven't really done a community benefits agreement in the way that we're describing that FC would agree to a community benefits agreement. However, there have been cases in the past when the city of Cincinnati entered into – an agreement with a large corporation to bring jobs to the city. This deal occurred before I was mayor. It was with Convergys. Convergys agreed to keep, I think it was 1,000 employees in the city of Cincinnati. And there was a clause in that agreement that said if they went below that, they would have to pay the city a certain amount of money. Well, during the time that I was mayor, they dipped down below 1,000 jobs. I think the city manager became aware of it, and he called them up and said, are you going to get back to 1,000 jobs in Cincy? They said, no time soon. He said, okay, then we're exercising our clawback. You owe us $15 million. And they wrote a check. It may have been $16 million or $17 million, but the point is they wrote that check, sent it back to the city of Cincinnati, and so that agreement held. That agreement worked.
One of the other things about the community benefits agreement, I was talking to a member of the Board of Education who used to live in Over the Rhine. And his point was the Over the Rhine is just as close and in many parts of Over the Rhine even closer than a lot of the residential sections of the West End. Should the community benefits agreement reach both of those neighborhoods?
Well, I think there's an opportunity to make sure that whichever community receives the stadium, that that community is involved in the community benefits agreement. In the case of the West End, the placement of the stadium puts it right on the border of the West End and OTR. It's actually in the West End, but it's right on the border of OTR. So certainly there would be conversations with the folks in OTR about concerns that they may have. Some of those concerns are going to be the same concerns that people in the West End would have, but because the stadium will be placed in the West End, those concerns of West End residents would take first priority.
And as I understand what's been written, it's not so much an agreement with the West End Community Council as it is with an advisory council that would be formed to enforce these agreements. Is that correct?
Well, there would be an advisory council formed. That would be a council that's representative of the communities. And the agreement would be between FC, the city of Cincinnati, and that community as a third-party beneficiary.
Okay. One final question, and that is, again, sort of your experience as mayor your family's experience as a grassroots political family, really coming up out of the West End, through the West End. What do you think of this process that we've gone through with FC Cincinnati in terms of being inclusive, transparent, and open?
Well, I think that there have certainly been a number of opportunities for people to get information about FC's plans. The initial announcement of three potential sites for a stadium was made in June of last year at a public ceremony that was in over the Rhine. It was at the theater. I can't remember the name of the theater now. So that information has been out there for a while. There have been a lot of community meetings held at this point. There have been meetings with the Board of Education. There have been meetings in the West End. There have been meetings in Oakley. There have been meetings in OTR to get information out about what this could mean for a community coming into the ownership of the stadium. I say the ownership of the stadium, but I just mean the placement of the stadium itself.
Okay. Well, I want to let you go, and I know you've got to get to that meeting, too.
I've got to dash. We've all been moving around quite a bit.
And I appreciate your willingness to stay for a few more minutes and clarify that part.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.